Amen. Once more, it is my joy and privilege to commune with you even this year, following last year. It was such a wonderful time last year, I believe even this year. And also greetings from our church back home in Okaneng. Just the joy of having to have friends such as you. And I'm hoping, and they start making a promise that next year, if the event this year, our youth also will come with me. That is something I'm committing to do just for them to get out of Mpumalanga to Gauteng. So that is something I think I will be able to do next year. But with that, thank you, Muruti, for the privilege and your team of inviting me once more. Remember last year we were more talking about dating. How many of you are married so far after that? That lecture. Okay, that means unfortunately I didn't accomplish anything. Maybe you thought this, if this is the case between a man and a woman, I'd rather not get married. I don't know, maybe that may be the case. But I'm also glad this year to share the stage with you. And one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 122, Psalm 122. You don't have to open there, but you can. Like it, when I became a Christian some years ago, I used to read my favorite Afrikaans Bible. And that's where I learned to memorize this verse, Psalm 112, Psalm 22, Psalm 122. And it reads, but I was dead with those who said to me, come, let us go to the house of the Lord. And this is also my joy. Muruti, I would like to sing something. I'm not sure if you want my voice singing in your tape, because my voice is not one of the best. So, but it's a song we used to sing in those days, which says, when I remember what the Lord has done, I will never go back anymore. I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with that song. Are we? Okay, maybe you can sing that song while you are seated. My voice is not one of the best, especially we started with baritone now. Okay. The Lord has done great things, and it is not worth it to go back. Amen. Now, my task this morning is not to sing, but is to speak on this topic, young but not ashamed. That was an interesting one, Muruti, and immediately Romans chapter 9 came to my mind, but I thought Pastor Gideon or Chris Muguni will pick up Romans 1, so I thought, let me not play along those sides. Young but not ashamed. And indeed, I believe that as young people, we are not to be ashamed of our Christianity or even the gospel itself. Something I found interesting when I was speaking to my wife, when Muruti Bembe sent the message, the email, and even telephonic communication, I said to her, you know, if you have a Zulu-speaking person and a Swana-speaking person communicating, you need to be careful, because they might think they're saying one and the same thing, while the other is saying, two say, help me, and one and two say, you know, scare me off. So you want to be careful of such communication. Because sometimes you think, well, you come up with a presupposition thinking, I heard him, I think he's saying this, and only to find he's saying something different. And that's the danger of just listening to someone with a presupposed mind. With that, I remember a story. This man was in Gauteng, and what they say, he was in this club drinking and everything. Thereafter, when he went out, he figured that his motor bike was no longer there, and he went back inside the pub or club, and he took out his gun and shot at the ceiling and said to them, if you people don't bring my motorbike within 5 minutes, what I'm going to do, I'm going to do what I did in Limpopo. And you know, everybody was concerned as to what did this guy do. And within 5 minutes, when he was drinking, after drinking, he went outside and his motorbike was there. And before he left, they asked him, you know, tell us, what did you do in Limpopo after they stole your motorbike? He said to them, I had to walk back home. I had back of the call. So, Father, that is just a side note. Young, but not ashamed. The purpose of this session, I believe, it is more to address the young people, especially as far as missions is concerned. How to be young and on fire for God. I think that's what we are looking at. And on fire, you know, we South Africans, when you think of fire, we think of strange things. And I trust Pastor Bembe that this was not the fire, you know, fire follow me. You don't want such things, you will burn. So, but this fire is to be more energetic, I believe, for the Lord, not that fire we think of. So this is something I want to try and address within a few minutes. And then also on this subject of being young and on fire for the Lord, I want to touch also on things which hinders us as youth to be the light and the salt of the earth. And by those things, I'll be touching on the temptations and then also winning some spiritual battles and so on. Now, for me, the best book in which I thought maybe I should share with you in this particular topic is a book of Daniel. If you may find your way to that hidden treasure in your Bible, book of Daniel. If you can go there, or if you can't find it very quick, you can go to a table of contents. It will tell you which page, book of Daniel. I want to use the book of Daniel as my main scripture passage to address this topic before us. And it is a large book, but I will take some few portions, relevant portions, which will be necessary for our topic this morning. As young people, we are indeed, as I said, to be on fire for the Lord, because God is what really He created us for. God really wants us to be energetic and on fire to Him. Let me read this passage. You don't have to go there. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship." We are His workmanship. We are the works of His hand, in other words, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And also you read Romans 11 verse 36, it reads a quote, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be the glory forever. Amen." So that's the, if I can summarize, the reason for our existence. Romans 11 verse 36, that is the whole summary of the reason of our existence. For of Him, we exist of Him. We exist through Him, and we exist to Him, and also that one to whom be the glory forever. Amen. So we are to be on fire for this God from whom we exist and to whom we also exist. But that is just to support the fact that we are to be on fire as young people for the Lord. Book of Daniel, if you are there, I'm going to read chapter 1. In this book, basically we find the young men who were really on fire for the Lord. Their names, for sure, we are some familiar with them. The name Daniel, and the name Hananiah, and the name Mishael, and the name Azariah. Or some you are familiar with names such as Daniel, we know the names. And another name that we know is Shadrach. The other name that we know is Meshach. The other name is Abednego. Those were foreign names given to them. But the names, their real names, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So we see this man, or we encounter this man in the book of Daniel. They were on fire for the Lord. And as I read this passage, I thought, what a best for me passage to share with you and to encourage you, to provoke you also to be on fire for the Lord. So these men were on fire for God, and we are going to learn from them. We are going to learn from them. These young men, they find themselves, just for historical purposes, they find them themselves in a foreign land, the land of Babylon. And even in that very land, they were on fire for their God. Look at chapter 1 verse 1, just to give you a historical background. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the articles into the treasure house of his little God. So, this is the historical background behind this book. Here are the people of God in Judah. Now, because of their disobedience to God, God allows King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, to take them captive. And among those who were taken captive, Daniel found himself to be among the group which was taken captive. Among them, it was this young man, Daniel, was this young man, Mishael or Meshach, this young man, Shadrach and Abednego. They are part of the group which was taken to exile. But what I find interesting from this passage is, even though they found themselves in exile, they were still in fire for their God. Amen. They were still energetic, active for the sake of their God. My proposition for this morning, from the lives of this young man and the God whom they walked with, I want to draw principles that will help and encourage us to be young men and women who are not ashamed, but rather on fire for their God. Amen. I'm going to draw some few principles from the lives of this man and the God whom they walk with. And from those principles, I believe that we are going to be encouraged not to be ashamed, but rather instead be young men and women who are on fire for God. Keep in mind the historical background that I just gave you, so that as we journey through this passage, you know what's happening. Now let's engage in the passage. Let me read it, and then we will start then. I read until verse 3, now I'm reading from verse 4. I'm reading from verse 3. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking like us, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision for the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might be able to serve before the king. Now, verse 6. From amongst them, those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your face looking worse than the young men who are at your age? Question. Then you would endanger my head before the king. Daniel said to the steward whom the chief and the eunuchs had sent over, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servant for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. That's a long passage. I will explain as we go. Now, this young man, they were on fire for the Lord in a foreign land. And this is the first principle I want to draw from this passage. If we are to be young men and women on fire for God, we must first learn to maintain our faith. That's the first thing. We must learn to maintain our faith. That's the first thing we should learn. If we are to be on fire, young men who are not ashamed but on fire for their God, we should learn to maintain for their faith. By maintaining, I simply mean we must learn to stand for our faith. Amen to that. We must learn to stand up for our faith. The first thing humanly a person in Daniel's shoes could have done in that situation in Babylon was to doubt if God was indeed who he claimed to be. Remember, these are God's people, and somehow they've been taken into captivity by a foreign king. If you find yourself in such a situation, you might ask yourself, is God really who he claims to be? If God claims to be so powerful, why would he allow us, his people, to be taken into captive? You remember, captive was not it was not something very like your modern day hotel or something. It was very tough. It was very tough. You read Psalm 137, you get a glimpse of how it was in Babylon. You remember Psalm 137? By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat and enjoyed ice cream, I guess, right? No. At the rivers of Babylon, there we sat and wept, right? Why? Those who took us captivity, they said, sing for us a song. And those who mocked us, they said, sing us a specific song, a song of Zion. And we said to them, how can we sing the song of the Lord while we are in a foreign city? O Jerusalem, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my tongue cling to the top roof of my mouth. In other words, if I forget you, Jerusalem, let me have nothing to say. Captivity was not something sweet. So these young men, they find themselves in such situations. For sure in their mind, as I said, they could ask themselves, where is our God? Why has God allowed this? If God so loves us as he claims to, why does he allow us to come into such a horrible place? Maintaining our faith. He could have easily wondered if what God claims to be really is true. Why would he let his people into captivity after all? This was the situation where these young men find themselves. For 3 years, remember, these young men, Daniel, Shadrach, and Abednego, they were trained in the literature and the doctrines of the Chaldeans. But even if they were trained in such doctrine, they stood for their faith. Amen. They stood for their faith. In other words, they were not influenced by the doctrines and the teachings of the Chaldeans or the Babylonians. They knew who their God was, even in the midst of such challenges. One day, just for interest's sake, the king made a declaration. Somehow, he just decided to make a little god of God. And the king made a declaration, as you read, that everyone should go and worship that king. You remember the story? And Daniel was one of those who refused to worship the king. He refused to worship that little god. Why? Because as a young Jewish man, Daniel knew that there is only one God who deserves to be worshipped. He knew the commandments, or the Ten Commandments as we know them in Exodus 20. He knew that our God is a jealous God whom we cannot share worship with another. They stood for their faith. Now, you think of us today. The world we are living in, you think is horrible? Well, it's nothing compared to what the Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through. We also find ourselves in our little world where we are influenced by many things. Postmodernism is influencing us. The 21st century doctrines, they are infiltrating into many Christians. What do you do? If you are going to be on fire for your God, you should stand and maintain your faith. Amen. You should know your God. I mean, young people, there's no way you can stand for somebody whom you don't know. You cannot stand for your God if you don't know who he is. Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego, they knew this God. They've been taught of this God. And therefore, they were able to stand for him. If you don't know him, you cannot stand for him. Amen. You see, the problem or the challenge is, if you speak to many young people, here's the thing. They know about God. They don't know God. Do you follow that? They know about him. They've heard about him. But they don't know him. They just heard somebody saying something about God. But they don't know him at all. And you cannot stand firm for somebody you have heard about. You can only stand firm for somebody that you are close to, that you have a relationship with, that you daily commune with. That person you can stand for. Do you know him? Or do you hear about him? Do you know him or do you hear about him? We are to be young men who are young men and women who are on fire for God, and to do that, we are to immerse ourselves in the word of God so that, like Daniel, Shadrach, and Abednego, we can stand for our faith even in the midst of this challenging, cruel, and evil world. You speak to many young people today who claim apparently to be Christians. You just see, you just wonder even to a case that, are they really Christians? Daniel, Abednego, Shadrach, they were not old men, they were very young. Remember what the king requested from chapter 1. He said, I want young men. Look at this. Verse 4. Well, let's read from verse 3 so we can get the whole sentence. Verse 3, chapter 1. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men on whom there was no blemish. Young men. Underline that. But good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace. They were young. You see, what the king was trying to do is, if they are still young, I can influence them. I don't want old men who know about the God of Israel. I don't want those. I want young men. I want young men whom I will take for 3 years into training, and from there they can serve me and my God. I want to influence their mind and turn them to my God rather than their God in Israel. Well, most of us, we can relate with some of the attributes which this king really instructed Ashpenaz to find, like such as find young men who are good looking, who are beautiful, who are handsome like us. So, we can identify with them. But even what I find very amusing is that Daniel, Shadrach, and Abednego, for 3 years, seminary in this man, Nebuchadnezzar's seminary. They went there, graduated. But you know what? It's like you are teaching somebody for 3 years, indoctrinating them, and when they graduate, they say to you, that is not God. Waste of resources, right? Waste of resources. It's like in a modern day, you will take people for 3 or 4 years in seminary. When they come back, they throw fire at each other, they throw handkerchiefs and, you know, all those things. But this man, they stood for the faith. That's what I find very amazing. And even with us turning to us this morning, the world, even here in Olivet, wherever you come from, the world
is trying by all means to indoctrinate us with some things that are not even biblical. What do we do? We try to speak to them, you know, Maruti, I've realized that I have this low self-esteem. So yesterday I was looking myself in the mirror, you know, telling myself how beautiful I am, you know, looking at my caves and see, you know, you are. That is worldly. Isn't it what the world is teaching you? Love yourself. What is the Bible teaching you? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And the second command is like the one, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The Bible is saying, you don't have a problem with loving yourself. You have a problem with loving God and loving your neighbor. That's the problem. But the modern day pop psychology that we are running with is, you know, I need to have self-esteem. I need to have confidence. Oh, you have to be on fire for your God. Amen. You have to be on fire for your God. This young man, Daniel, Abednego, Shadrach, they're on fire for their God. One commentator said the following words, I quote, Rabbi Zachariah said the following words, I quote, what makes the story of Daniel and his friends' faith remarkable is that they did not simply continue their private devotion to God that they had developed in their homeland, but they maintained high-profile public witness in a pluralistic society that became increasingly antagonistic to their faith. What he's saying is, what you find interesting about this man is that they did not only maintain their faith, their private devotion to God, which they learned from their homeland, but also, even in that land or foreign land that they find themselves in, they continued to display their faith, even when they were opposed. And the very same principle I want to drop with you this morning, or to you this morning, if you are to be on fire for your God, you need to first be able to stand for your faith. You need to first know this God. You need to know Him so you can stand for Him. Do you believe what you have believed? Tautology right there. You believe Christ. Do you really believe that? Is it, the problem is sometimes we believe, but we don't believe. We believe, but we don't believe really. Let me help you to understand what I'm saying. If somebody comes to you and says, as a Christian, Jesus Christ is not God, is that true? We can answer, is that true? What are you going to say to him? Are you wrong? No, they are not wrong. That's a problem with believing what you don't believe. You are telling me that Jesus, you believe that Jesus Christ is not God. That's true, you believe that. That's true. That's what you believe. The statement is true as far as what you believe. So sometimes we believe what we don't believe. You know, this sounds convincing. But so that I'm not attending ZCC, which is not a modern church, so I can associate with Abazalwane, let me just believe whatever they are saying. And when such times of testing comes, then you wonder if you really believe. But you cannot stand for something you don't believe. The second principle I want to draw for you in this passage, look at the verse 8. Or let's read from verse 7 to verse 8. The first one is, you need to maintain or stand for your faith. Here's the second one, verse 7 to 8. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah gave the name Abednego. Verse 8, notice. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the potion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Here is the second principle. If you are going to be a young man and woman who are not ashamed, but rather on fire for God, you must learn to tame your appetites. You must learn to tame your appetites. And I'll explain to you what I mean by that. Number one, you learn to maintain your faith. Number two, you learn to tame your appetites. You learn to tame your appetites. Now look at verse 8. This young man, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they've been trained for 3 years. 3 years is gone now. They've graduated that night. Now the king brings a provision for them. Delicacies, sweet things for them to eat. They're sitting with the king at the table, and the king wants them to eat and to die, to celebrate with him. But this young man, they say to the king, look at the verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the provision of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. While the provision is on the table, Daniel makes this statement. The Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart. That word purpose simply means Daniel made a commitment in his heart. Daniel resolved in his heart. He made a resolution in his heart that he will not defile himself with the king's delicacies and his wine. Learning to tame your appetites. Why was this so important? Well, this author helps us. Let me quote this verse by Clark. He said, I quote, "Heathen nations not only ate unclean beasts, which were forbidden by Jewish law, but even the unclean animals which were eaten, were first offered as a victim sacrifice to their gods. And part of the wine was poured out as a liberation on their altar." Meaning, in other words, Daniel knew that all this nice food and meat that they were going to chow and enjoy was a first sacrifice to the gods of the Babylonians. Even the wine which they were going to enjoy, knew that part of that wine was used to sacrifice to those gods. Hence, Daniel made a commitment in his heart that I will not defile myself by taking part on this table. Learning to tame our appetites. Daniel May and his friends, they made this decision. We are going to tame our appetites. Even though these delicacies, this sweet or whatever delicious food that are presented before us, we are going to reject them. Why? For the sake of our God. We are going to learn to tame our appetites. We are going to resolve in our hearts, make commitment in our hearts to refuse to eat. Why? We know that this food were sacrificed to idols. Therefore, we will not defile ourselves. Look at the picture. Find this interesting as I read it. Verse 8 reads, I'm going to read the whole of verse 8 and I want to show you a picture. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Imagine. On the table, you're about to eat. And the Bible says Daniel resolved in his heart, I'm not going to eat this. And that was in his heart. And when the food was served, you know what Daniel said to the man who was serving him? The chief of the eunuchs, meaning the guy who's on top, you know, the king's right hand man, said to him, I don't want to defile myself. The king can kill you at any time, right? But he said, no, I'm not going to eat. They smell nice and everything. But I'm going to learn to battle. I'm going to learn to tame my appetite. I'm not going to eat. Why? I don't want to defile myself. learning to tame our appetite. In this case, for Daniel and his friends, their appetite was in a form of provision, was in a form of food and wine and all those things. But ladies and gentlemen, are we not also, as young men and women who wants to be on fire for the Lord, are we not also supposed to tame our appetites? I'm not talking about food in this case. The world entices us with many appetites. The world tempts us or tempts us with many delicacies, many nice, somehow or supposedly attractive things. We should learn to tame our appetites. One of the things that we need to, or one of the areas in which young men and women who needs or who wants to be on fire for the Lord, one of the areas in which we need to tame our appetites is this one, our sexual appetites, isn't it? We need to tame our sexual appetites. The world thinks if you have sex, you are going to get the pleasure out of that. But as a young man and woman who's on fire for the Lord, you need to tame your appetites. As tempting as they were, Daniel resolved in his heart, I'm not going to participate. Why? For the sake of my God. Well, as far as my feelings, I can feel like eating them. They smell nice, they look nice. But as far as my faith, I'm not going to defile myself. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to present to you that sexual immorality is one, or sexuality is one of the areas in which young Christian men and women, they need to tame themselves when coming to them. The world is selling sexuality as something cheap. Something that they say, if you do it, you are going to draw pleasure out of there. But I would like to present to you that as a young man and woman who want to be on fire for the Lord, you need to tame your sexual appetites. Let's say amen to that. We need to do that. Many young men and women who love the Lord, who are on fire for the Lord, they fall by the roadside. Why? Because they fail to tame their sexual appetites. They tend to fail their sexual appetites. As I said, the media, social media, whatever form of media that you may have, the technology is presenting to you this delicacy of sex. Even your schoolmates, even your colleagues, whatever, they're presenting this as something very cheap. Do it then. What's wrong? Even for Daniel, Shadrach, and Abednego, this man presented this beautiful, delicious food before them, but they decided for 10 days we'd rather not eat. Why? Because we don't want to defile ourselves. Failure to tame our sexual appetites is one of those things that defiles a man. Not only for those who are young like you, even for those who are married, isn't it? All of us, we need to tame our appetites sexually. All of us, even if you are married, you need to tame your appetites. On Monday, it was our anniversary. Then Sunday, we're giving a testimony with my wife and I. And one of my favorite passages that I read to the church as we were testifying about, you know, celebrating our anniversary, wedding anniversary, we read Job chapter 30, verse 1. Can somebody read that for me? So my favorite passage. Job chapter 30, verse 1. Don't leave Daniel. Job chapter 30. Verse 1. Somebody can stand up and read it loud. I'll be happy. Job chapter 30, verse 1. Okay, there it is.
But now they laugh at me, men who are younger than I.
Job chapter 30. Is it 30?
It's
31, sorry. 31, sorry. Job chapter 31, verse 1. I'm sorry for that.
I have made a covenant with my eyes. How the emperor gazed at a virgin.
Okay, another version that is NIV.
ESV.
ESV. Okay, another version. Is there anyone with a different version? Sorry.
I have laid a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young
virgin? Amen. I've made a covenant with my eyes. With another version, it says, never to look at a young woman lustfully. That's one of the covenants I made. Why? To tame my sexual appetites. Amen. So as a young man, I'm presenting to you, if you are going to be on fire for the law, as a young man, as a young woman, learn to tame your sexual appetite. That's the first area of appetite where you need to tame. One of my professors said to me, I remember when I was graduating, he said to me, you know, Peter, I want to leave you with something. When you go out there for ministry, you must be soft here and be hard there. So then come into your mind, be soft, read, study. But when coming to your trousers, be very hard. Meaning, be a man who's committed to the word of God and flee away from sexual immorality. Be soft here, be hard there. If you are going to be a young man and woman who's on fire for the Lord, you need to tame your sexual appetites. And another area in which I believe we need to tame ourselves is when coming to possessions. You see, the world we live in now is all about doing everything for self. Well, greediness is no longer greediness. We think of it as being successful. Daniel and his friends, the Bible says, they made a commitment in verse 8. They purposed in their hearts that we will not defile ourselves. Remember the story of Joseph, what he said when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife? How can I do such a thing against my master and sin against my God? That's what he said. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to present to you that if you are to be a young man and a young woman is on fire for the Lord and not ashamed, secondly, you must learn to tame your appetites. There are many delicacies, according to this verse, there are many so-called precious things that the world is presenting before you. You as a young man need to make a decision. I've seen in my life many men who were on fire for the Lord, who were passionate about the Lord. But because of one thing, they never tamed their sexual appetite. Just because of that, out of ministry. How we lose so many effective men and women of God because failure to tame their sexual appetite. These are two principles I want to leave with you this morning. If you want to be a young man who's not ashamed but on fire for the Lord, number one, you need to maintain your faith, stand for your faith. Number two, you need to learn to tame your appetites. God bless you. Amen.
Wonderful. How to be on fire for God. Thank you, Pastor Zolo, for that word. What a challenging word, what a relevant word that we needed to hear as today's youth. Can we stand and just sing one hymn, and then we're going to take a 10-15 minute break, and then we'll be back for the second session.